Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Guys, our second sponsor for today's podcast is Alloy Sports. Look, I know a lot of y'all have listened to our podcast for a long time, but y'all are probably wondering by now where I get my stats and trends from. Well, if you want to build winning systems and use trends and stats like I do, download the Alloy Sports app. The link is in my bio on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at TP3BETS. Go click on it, download it, guys. I promise, guys, it will help you guys bet like a pro. If y'all want to use the same trends and everything I do, download it now. Alloy Sports, once again, that's A-L-L-O-Y. S-P-O-R-T-S, Alloy Sports. Y'all go download it and give them a listen. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you guys live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm joined on Wednesday, March 15th, 2023, by Ben Gorwitz. Ben, you ready for some college basketball at 12 o'clock tomorrow, man?
Yeah, by the time this comes out, the greatest way to determine a champion will officially be underway, even though it kind of already started with the play-in games.
Yeah, I'm glad, by the way, they changed it back to the play-in games and not the first round. Like, I hated that when it was when they called that the first round. I thought that was so stupid. But, I mean, last night was two great games. Both games came down to a final shot, basically, to potentially win or send the game to overtime. So you couldn't ask for much better basketball than that. I can't say the games were pretty to watch, but that's college basketball, and that's the way it is. Sometimes it's an ugly game, but all you got to ask for is a close game. Ben, first off, man, we got to talk about NFL. There's been a lot of player movement. Obviously, the big talk right now is with Aaron Rodgers and everything. Look, me and Ben aren't going to get in the weeds on every single one. We're just going to give you all a couple brief signings and stuff. We'll hit everything a lot harder here in the coming weeks with the draft and stuff ramping up right now. The main focus is college basketball. But Ben, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers here, man. A lot went down today with the Pat McAfee podcast. Basically, Aaron Rodgers did not request for them to trade for all those guys. He did not give them a laundry list. He just gave his input. Aaron Rodgers ultimately said he would like to play football for the Jets this upcoming season. Now it is up to the Jets and Packers to determine the compensation. Ben, what are your thoughts on this entire saga and the Jets moving forward?
I mean, listen, the thing with Aaron Rodgers, you and I differ on it. There are people who don't like him, and so they choose to hate everything about him. Then there's people like me. I don't care about his personal life. Unless he's like doing the, you know, murdering people, then we can get at that. He's just a prick. He's an asshole. Okay. So is half of New York. Okay, there's pricks, there's assholes in this world. The attention that he gets, the amount of people that were viewing that Pat McAfee show, it's because he's a superstar outside of football as well. He's like a household celebrity name.
That text with Schefter, by the way, was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Lose my
Listen,
number.
Listen, people, he doesn't have to, like, as an athlete, you don't have to play by the book. You're allowed to be your own agent. You're allowed to break your own news when it's about your personal life. The people who do that typically get looked at by the media poorly. It literally – now, that was from his point of view. It literally sounded like Diana Rossini and Adam Schefter texted Aaron Rodgers He texted them both, lose my number. Good try, though. And then they just ran with the stories that their sources were telling them without confirmation if they were true or not.
Well,
Of
I thought
course,
it
the
was Trey
public.
Wingo and Rossini that did. I thought that Schefter pretty much said like he didn't really have anything to report. Or no, that was Rap Sheet who said he didn't really have anything to
Yeah.
report.
Rap Sheet was like, the update is that there's no update.
Yeah.
And Aaron is saying those things weren't true. He goes, if you want, have Adam Sh ask Adam Schefter what the text was. And he tweeted it. Like, Aaron Rodgers wasn't lying.
Yeah.
I think the Jets have no leverage in the situation. I mean, I think Green Bay does want to get rid of him. I think they respect him enough to make a trade officially happen, but this could stall out if Green Bay wanted to be, get everything they wanted with no sacrifices.
Well, look, Ben, call me crazy on this. I think that the Jets have more power here than Green Bay does. Because, I mean, Green Bay's base, because Aaron Rodgers basically said he doesn't want to play quarterback there anymore. Green Bay has to figure out what they're going to get out of Jordan Love here. I think the Jets have all the power, and that's probably what's happening here, is they're probably like demanding like 2 first-round picks. We don't know what exactly they're demanding, but they're probably demanding something
Probably demanding a
ridiculous.
lot. I see. Yeah.
Yeah, and Green Bay's probably like, or and the Jets are probably like, dude, F this. Like, what are y'all going to do if he doesn't sign with y'all? Nothing, because they can't do anything if he doesn't. They're just going to be stuck with him. Like, they have all the power in the situation. They have all the leverage. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to go back there. It seems like it's over with. I feel like they'll come to an agreement here, though, in the next couple of days.
I think they will too. And puts the Jets in a good spot. They got a really good defense, a nice young core. But let's just not go and like Super Bowl contender this or bust. Like, you're the Jets. Let's take some baby steps, okay? Fight for the division with the Bills, which I think the Jets can win, but they won't be the favorite to win it. Bills will be.
Call me crazy. I might take a flyer on the Dolphins to win the division just because I feel like they're going to have the third best odds and they'll have nice odds. And I mean, Dolphins have a pretty stacked roster. So
It's a
that's
loaded
something.
division
Yeah,
that
the
the
Jets.
Patriots have fallen behind in.
Yeah, the Patriots got Juju today. The Bills are able to bring back Jordan Poyer and they reworked a bunch of other contracts. So who knows what else is going to happen there. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a huge move. I mean, you don't see guys, generational QBs like Aaron Rodgers shift teams that often. I mean, Ben. Let's talk about it from this perspective, though. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be as good as he has been in the past? I mean, the guy's 40 plus years old. I mean, think about it. Rivers fell off. Big Ben fell off. Peyton Manning fell way off. I mean, pretty much Tom Brady's the only guy over this age. I mean, Drew Brees, too. Drew Brees fell off. Like, Brady's the only one that was really able to keep his play up, you know?
I think Rodgers can do it. I mean, his arm strength hasn't decreased at all. If anything, his mobility, which makes him kind of that, how great he is. He's one of the best outside of the pocket and inside the pocket, especially compared to all the guys that you just named. Big Ben was hard to tackle, but he was more of a pocket passer. Rodgers has always had the mobility. He'll get slower in age. He's had a couple foot injuries as well, ankle, but his arm, his IQ of the game is, I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I still think he has at least one good year left in him. I mean, you put a stacked up offense around him, kind of like similar to what happened to Brady in Tampa, and you give a good quarterback like Rodgers with the IQ, like you said, and everything. I still think he'll be all right. I mean, I don't know for how many more years, but I think he's still at least got another good year in him to make. I still think the Jets are definitely a Super Bowl contender getting Rodgers, no doubt about it. So I think it's
He'll
a
quit, I
solid.
think, when his body is ready.
Yeah, exactly. Let's keep things moving here, Ben. Let's talk about our Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons made a lot of big moves here in free agency. They brought back both their offensive linemen. They bring in help on the defensive line. They brought in help as well in, why am I drawing a blank? They brought in help at the quarterback position with Taylor Heinicke. Ben, what do you think about these moves the Falcons have made?
Think the division sucks, so I think that makes you look at every move they're making differently. I think the Saints are the best team in the division, no doubt. But I want the Falcons to go for it. I'm not ever rooting for a team to be tanking. So I guess that made me have, I don't know if, I mean, Mariota even over Ritter last year was still tanking. They were both gonna be horrible. I like Heinicke coming against competition. I think it's still Ritter's job to lose, probably. But you always gotta like bringing a hometown kid back. I believe Heinicke is from the state of Georgia.
He played
And
at Collins Hill.
I like Juwan, Juwan Smith coming in. Now, obviously,
Same.
like, I don't want to see highlights when he was on the Titans. He was a lot younger back then, but he's familiar with the offensive scheme, and obviously the offensive-minded coach. I think he's a better blocking tight end than Pitts, so Pitts could possibly even line up at kind of like that slot receiver now as like a hybrid. I like the moves the Falcons are making. I was watching NFL Network the other day. Old GMs that are on there now seem to like what the Falcons are doing as well. Taking care of the offensive line is important. So yeah, I mean, solid moves. The team's still not very good.
Yeah, Jesse Bates is the one I was forgetting. David Onyemata, though, I thought was a bargain considering the contract that the 49ers handed out to Javon Hargrave. Obviously, Jesse Bates, I mean, you get a top bringing a top four safety. I think that's massive too. I like the Jonnu Smith pickup because we were able to rework the contract. He'd have a fat contract, but I mean, look, Jakobi Meyers was the class of the free agent wide receivers, him and Juju Smith-Schuster. When those two guys are the best free agent wide receivers on the board, you know you got to go out there and figure something out because those guys should not be the top two options in any free agency wide receiver class. So I think bringing in Jonnu gives us another receiving option, which is nice, but. Like you said, I mean, look, I think Taylor Heineke sucks. I think that Desmond Ridder does too, but I think these guys are probably going to win at least 7 games. I think the Falcons, though, will have a stronger roster and will be in more position where we can go all in a trade. I mean, the Lamar Jackson situation, like we talked about in last podcast, that'll still be there. On top of that, too, we can maybe trade up in the draft and get Caleb Williams, which I mean, I would like a lot. I know Ben would too. I mean, you look at the division, you got Derek Carr, Desmond Ridder or Heineke, Baker Mayfield, and probably we'll get to that talk in a second, but probably CJ Stroud will be the other one. I mean, your other NFC starting quarterbacks are Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, Sam Howell, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Jordan Love, Geno Smith, Matthew Stafford, Brock Purdy, and Kyler Murray. The NFC is terrible, Ben. Now is the time to build your team the right way and get ready to dominate this conference.
I love it. The only thing I'll add is I feel like both of our quarterbacks now are super competitive. So may the best man win.
Yeah, may the best man win. I like it a lot, Ben. Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a good camp battle, so it'll be fun to watch. Ben, we had a huge trade go down on Friday. The Carolina Panthers acquire the first overall pick. They traded this year's first and second round picks. They traded next year's first round pick and a 2025 second round pick. Also, DJ Moore here. First of all, did you feel the same way as me with the Bears fleecing the Panthers, in my opinion?
Yes, if you just look at the trade of what it is, yes. But in my opinion, this is how I would think if I was in a front office in any sport, really. If you feel like your team, the quarterback's the most important, you can't win without a quarterback. Everyone knows this. If you love one of the guys in this year's particular draft, obviously Carolina does. They've already taken care of the defense the last couple drafts. The rest you can build in free agency and then development. I'm not really concerned with what you give up if you think you're getting the guy that takes your franchise to the next level. Because if you take, let's say it's CJ Stroud, since he's the betting favorite right now, CJ Stroud's really good within his first 3 years, whenever that time is, then who cares about the other? Like, CJ Stroud's the guy that you're drafting CJ Stroud because he's supposed to get you to win. If they're starting to win with CJ Stroud in year two, then who cares about a first round draft pick the next year? You're winning with your guy. Start to build other ways. Like the winning teams, it's like the Chiefs who are drafting 30, 29, 30, 31, 32 every year. It's like, okay. They got Karloftis. He's an animal for them. There's good guys all in the NFL. You don't
For
need
sure.
like first round pick. I think your second round pick. Whatever. If CJ Stroud's the guy, if you develop him correctly, if he fits your scheme correctly, if you're winning with him, then who cares about a pick 3 years down the road, 2 years down the road?
No, for sure. I mean, I definitely agree with you from that sense. I thought it was a good trade for the Bears because, like I said, there was not
Great
good
trade for the
wide
Bears.
receivers on the market. So you're going ahead and you're getting a true number one option. I mean, now you got Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney, and DJ Moore as your wide receivers. I mean, Cole Kmet, that's a great looking offense right there. Bears can also, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Bears get Bijan Robinson now in this draft and just go all in on their ground game too here.
Got rid of David Montgomery.
Look, I think the Panthers offense is definitely lacking a true number one. Terrence Marshall, Shai Smith, and Laviska Shenault are your wide receivers now. They just gave a fat deal to Hayden Hurst. I don't know if he's exactly the pass. I mean, he's a solid tight end, but I don't know if he's exactly what they traded for or what they spent the big money on there. I think the Panthers are really lacking a playmaker. It's going to be tough for them to bring one in with their draft position in this draft because they're not going to pick till the third round, basically. So it's going to be tough for them to really go out and find the wide receiver they need to benefit. Like, I think CJ Stroud's a good quarterback. I think he's going to need help, though, with that wide receiver and that offensive playmaking position. I don't know exactly if they have enough help around him just yet. I mean, I agree with you, Ben. Yeah, exactly. I agree with you for the fact that the Panthers needed to go ahead and get their guy, which they're going to get their guy. Ultimately, I think I'll like this trade a little bit more for them because they've also been rumored to trade back. I mean, if you're able to trade back, if you're the Panthers and get one of the second round picks back and trade back to like the third or fourth slot, because apparently they like multiple quarterbacks, I think that would make this trade a little bit more likable for me.
To me, it's like, what are the Colts doing? For years everyone has just been saying the Colts are a quarterback away from being real contenders. The Colts are now sitting with the what do they have, the fourth or fifth
yeah fourth
pick,
pick
I think. Fourth pick, but they're going to be the third team that selects that needs a quarterback, so they're going to get option number three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Colts really got screwed here. That's why I wouldn't be shocked to see them try to trade back with the Panthers. Honestly, I think the Panthers are going to end up picking Stroud with the first pick, though. I don't think they'll trade again, even though they're saying that. But yeah, the Colts really got shafted by this. Ben, any more NFL free agency stuff you want to talk about before we jump into this March Madness?
No, let's move on.
Yeah,
the Giants have done well again.
Oh, yeah, getting Darren Waller, that was absolutely massive. The Giants are killing it right now.
Nothing.
Yeah, they got a third-round pick, so they traded Kadarius Toney for a third-round pick. They traded that third-round pick for Darren Waller. That's a hell of a trade right there, a third-round pick for Darren Waller, or Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller. I'd do that one all day. Ben, before we get into the actual bracket in and of itself, look, I've been doing a lot of thinking, Ben, a lot of back and forth on my bracket, and you know what's something that I think that makes a lot of sense to me here?
That Alabama's the best team in the country.
I don't disagree with you on that one. I do think they are the best team in the country. I think the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball, and I think that
Loaded.
The Big 10 and the ACC both suck. Y'all are going to see a theme here in this next part we talk about here. The Big 12, 7 of their 10 teams got into the tournament. Oklahoma State was a bubble team who barely missed. And the Big Ten, their number 10 seed went all the way to the conference championship game, and there was literally one win separating you from being the 11 seed or the 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Top of that, guys, the ACC, I think, is awful. I'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about it, but I think the ACC is terrible, straight up. I mean, Virginia was their best team. Virginia can't score the basketball. I mean, this team has no offense. They're going to be missing one of their best players in here. I think, Ben, the theme of the tournament, you're going to see these Big Ten and ACC teams getting spanked and go home early, and I think you're going to see these Big 12 teams that are battle-tested. I mean, they don't look as impressive as they all beat up on each other, but I would not be shocked at all to see some of these Big 12 teams make a deep run in the tournament, us to be sitting there on the second weekend like, damn, they got 6 or 5 out of these 7 teams to the next round. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's a tremendous conference, no doubt. I think the ACC had a down year.
ACC's been down
obviously,
for a while.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, North Carolina went from preseason number one to not making the tournament. Virginia is pretty much the same Virginia, but they don't have like a superstar on their team. Like Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome are superstars in college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? The power forward that was there at the same time.
Sam Hauser, or DeAndre Hunter?
DeAndre Hunter. Wasn't there something Clark?
T.A. Clark is still on the team.
No, it's not who I was thinking of, but whatever. They're a great defensive team.
Diakite for the he's on the Bucks.
A lot of NBA guys.
Yeah, he's been around the block.
They don't have like a guy right now.
I do like
but
Reese
Duke.
Beekman.
I mean, Duke's one of the hottest teams in the country.
Yeah, I like Reese Beekman.
Duke is
that
18
other wing,
and one
but
when they have a Duke is 18-1 on the year when they have a full healthy roster.
Damn, why'd you have to bring that one up, Ben? Now I'm second guessing one of my picks in my bracket. Ugh. Anyways, guys, me and Ben are about to go region by region, talk about our brackets here, give you all a little knowledge what we're thinking. Ben, no further ado, let's get into it, man. We're going to start things out in the East region or the South region, where the number one seed is Ben's boys, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Ben, before we obviously get into who we have winning this one, what matchup are you the most excited to watch out of all these?
Ooh, I think there's two that jump out. I think Creighton NC State, the 6-11, is an unbelievable matchup. Creighton is a team that had a lot of preseason hype, and they had a tremendous year, 21-12. Big East is a tough conference. NC State is a team that, if you haven't watched them much, they have two guards that can score on anyone in the country. And their big man is the definition of big. He's
He's
ginormous.
thick.
Creighton's tall, though. Creighton's tall, but NC State's big man is thick. So I think that's a really good matchup that people should not look over, because a winner of that is most likely getting Baylor. I think the other matchup, I think I'm going to let you talk about it more, but Virginia and Furman is really fascinating. Virginia really does struggle shooting the basketball, scoring the basketball, but they play great defense. Typically, they can suffocate these lower, conference teams. I don't know if Furman's the case. I think this can be a really close game.
So Ben, first of all, with the I agree. I was gonna pick the Creighton and NC State game as well. I think that's actually one of the best matchups of the entire first round right there. The big man for Creighton, Kalkenbrenner, I think Creighton's underseeded, to be honest with you, because he had COVID or not COVID, he had mono and missed a couple games, and over that stretch, kind of where he came down with it and missed the games, they lost all those games. So I think that's kind of skewed their numbering a little bit. But I think he's absolutely going to destroy the big man for NC State. But yeah, I love this matchup here between Virginia and Furman. Look, I think Furman's going to run them off the court and pull the upset. I actually also have San Diego State losing to Charleston in this one. Furman is like the worst draw Virginia could possibly ask for. They rank 33rd in offensive efficiency. They play five out and shoot the ball. Virginia's got injuries. And on top of that, Virginia wants to sit back and play D. Furman wants to do the exact opposite, guys. They're going to ramp it up on them and score a ton of points. Virginia is also a bad free throw shooting team, so I think that's another reason to let Furman hang around in this one. I mean, Virginia went 25-7 in a super weak ACC. They lost three of those seven losses came to teams that didn't even make the tournament. I just feel like this is a good spot for Furman to come out here and upset them. I think they're going to. I'll give you all a hint. That's gonna be my huge bet. I'm actually gonna make a video for that pick and post on TikTok right once we get off here. But yeah, I think those are the best matchups here. Obviously, sleeper team to get through here. I would say, I know a lot of people are picking Arizona. I know somebody on this podcast might have picked Arizona to go deep in this tournament. But I think if I'm going to pick one sleeper team, I'm going to go with Baylor. I mean, Baylor's defense has been bad, but I feel like they've got time now to fix it up. And I feel like that was a real eye-opening loss for them against Iowa State. I think this team can bomb threes, and they have a true stud with Keontae George. They have big man and athleticism. I have Baylor going all the way to the Elite Eight, so they're going to be my surprise team in this region.
I think it's Creighton.
Think that's a damn good pick.
I think Creighton can go far into this tournament.
They did last year, and they had injuries to their big man. Kalkenbrenner got hurt in the first round game, and they didn't have RJ Nimhardt either.
I think this team's really talented and deep, and they're big. Their size is going to cause problems for people, I think.
Yeah, they have like this like Kaluma. He's like a small forward. He plays like power forward, but he plays more like a small forward, but he's huge. He's like 6'9", 6'10", too. He's very versatile for him. Obviously, though, the best team in this region, guys. I mean, look, Arizona has a great team. Their best shooter, I can't think of his name, is a little banged up. Their big man, Umar Bello. I mean, he's one of the best players in the nation. He's banged up too. I think Arizona versus Alabama is going to be a hell of a game, which I hope we end up getting in the Elite Eight, guys. But I got to go with Alabama. Look, I watched the entire game against Missouri. Ben and I were texting throughout it. I thought Alabama played probably one of their worst games I've seen them play all season through the first 32 minutes of that game. In the last 8 minutes, this team came alive, was banging threes. They were like 2 of 22 from three up until that point. Still won the game by 12 points. They absolutely pulled away. Brandon Miller is the best player in all of college basketball this year, and he's going to prove it why. This guy's stepped up with a chip on his shoulder. I think Alabama gets out of this region no problem.
Yeah, my Elite Eight is slightly different from yours. I'm going Alabama versus Creighton, with Alabama going to the Final Four out of the South. I mean, for everything you said, I mean, I agree. I think he's the best player in the country. I think Edie is probably going to win the National Player of the Year award. And Brandon Miller wasn't, they had to add a roster spot for him. So with the off the court stuff that went on, I
Yeah.
think that's going to hurt him. Obviously, he's the best player in the country. He's the most NBA ready out of any college kid. His game is identical to Paul George. He
Yep.
moves the same way as Paul George. I think when you have the best player in the entire tournament, that's what I believe that Alabama has. I think you put yourself in good position. I actually think Bama got a pretty favorable draw. You have some big names in your region, Baylor, Virginia, but both those schools a little worse than they have been the last couple of years. Arizona's still there. I think Creighton can cause some matchup problems with their size. Same with Arizona, but I think when you have the best player on the floor, you give a good chance to win. And I think Brandon Miller gives that for Alabama.
Yeah, also too, Ben, like when you look at the way this bracket's like made, I think it's a pretty strong bracket with Creighton, Baylor, and Arizona to join Alabama. But all those teams play in the bottom region. Alabama doesn't even have to think about those teams until the Elite Eight. I don't see any of the teams in Alabama's half the bracket giving them any trouble. I think they're the safest pick in all of the bracket to go to the Final Four or to go to the Elite Eight. Just because we're saying that, I watch it not happen that way. That's the way it always happens. But I'm just saying, guys, like, I don't see any of these teams being able to hang with Alabama. I mean, that Duke versus Virginia game, neither team could throw it in the ocean. That was the only reason why that was even competitive. I don't think Alabama will struggle with Virginia like that. Let's move, though, now down to the East. The winner of this one will take off who we both had Alabama in the Final Four. Purdue is the number one overall seed. In my opinion, they're the worst number one overall seed. Ben, what matchup intrigues you the most out of this one?
I think the 8-9 Memphis FAU is really intriguing.
Yes.
Two really good teams, but also because the winner will play Purdue. So I
Mm-hmm.
am really looking forward to see whoever wins that game looks in that first round matchup confidence-wise going in. I think Marquette, Vermont is very interesting. Vermont is one of the most experienced teams, especially in age. Everyone who gets minutes for them is a junior, senior, or grad transfer. They shoot the three incredibly well. They've won their this is at least back-to-back years during the tournament. I think they've won their conference like 3 or 4 years in a row. They're tournament tested. Marquette, they're great. They won a tough Big East this year. They won the regular season and the conference title. Tremendous accomplishment. Shaka Smart doesn't have the greatest luck when he's at a outside of VCU in the tournament. His Texas team lost to Abilene Christian. I don't think this is the easiest of matchups. I really don't. Vermont doesn't turn the ball over a lot. They shoot threes. That's intriguing to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you this, Ben. Vermont is one of my next biggest bets of the weekend behind good old Furman. But I think Ben picked two solid matchups out of this side of the bracket. I'm gonna go. I think Memphis FAU is by far the best matchup in this bracket, and I'd say that's top three of the entire weekend. I'm going to go with Duke Oral Roberts, though, which I think is the next best one. Look, I'm probably going to be on an island. I'm one of the few people picking Oral Roberts to pick the upset here. I think this might be one of the best 12 seeds I've seen in a long time. Oral Roberts won 17 straight games and lost one game since Thanksgiving. They're top 25 in offense. They can shoot from deep. And look, not a lot of teams out of these mid-major teams, they might have one good stud player, but this team has two. They have Max Abrams or Ace, I forget how you pronounce it, but Abrams or something like that. He led the college basketball scoring 2 years ago when they're the 15 seed that got to the Sweet 16. They're the first 15 seed to do it. On top of that, they have Isaac McBride, who's an Arkansas transfer. He's 7'5", and he can protect the rim for them. On top of those things, Duke is actually only have one win over a top 30 team in KenPom, which was Xavier back in November. I just feel like this is the type of team that can get to the Sweet 16, maybe even the Elite Eight. I just feel like this is the team that can go on a run when you have elite shooting like they have, and you have a big man who can battle inside with Derek Lively. I think that this is the kind of matchup that Duke doesn't want. If Duke can make it out of this one, I think they can go on a nice little run, but I'm taking ORU to upset them.
I'm on the complete opposite end of you.
Okay.
Duke's defense is one of the best in the country. I think their guards put a tremendous amount of pressure on opposing teams, especially when I feel like what's his name's been there forever now. I'm blanking. The starting point guard.
Roach.
Is that who I'm thinking of? I feel like he's like a Quinn Cook. He just has kind of been there kind of for a while.
Yeah, it definitely
But
does.
yeah, Duke. Filipowski really got it going for this team at the right time. Lively. Figured out his role, I think, was the biggest thing he was struggling with early in the year when he was coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Blocks a ton of shots. The guards put a lot of pressure on you. Not the greatest Duke shooting team we've ever seen, but they play great defense. I have Duke going very far.
Yeah, guys, by the way, this is a fully loaded bracket. You even got Kentucky sitting here. We didn't even talk about them. So, Ben,
yep.
No further ado, I assume Duke then is your sleeper team to make a run. They're considered sleepers since they're a five seed, so I'll give you them as the sleeper team.
I'll just give you my Elite Eight matchup. They're both kind of sleeper teams, Kansas State and Duke. I think this Kansas State team's really good. I don't think they're national championship good, even though I have them in my Elite Eight. I do think they're good. They have two reliant scorers. I know that the coach's first year, I think it's just going to be a magical run, and I'm picking the Purple Cats out of Manhattan, Kansas.
I've probably flip-flopped between the Purple Cats and the Wildcats 100 times, but spoiler alert, I have neither of them going past that Sweet 16 berth that those two teams will determine, because I have the Marquette Golden Eagles and Shaka Smart. I think they're going to struggle in that first game versus Vermont, but I think that's going to be the wake-up call and put this team on a run. Not only do I have Marquette winning this game and going to the Final Four, I have them beating Memphis in this spot. Look, I absolutely love the winner of Memphis and FAU to knock off Purdue. I have Oral Roberts defeating Tennessee and going to the Sweet 16 in this one. I just think Memphis, Kendrick Davis, great point guard, transferred in there from SMU. Y'all saw what he did, the way he stepped up in that championship game against Houston. I think Kendrick Davis in this backcourt. I mean, Memphis also has Williams, the big man. He's like 24 years old. This is like his sixth year. He's a very versatile, like, power forward with a massive wingspan. I think they're going to cause a lot of problems for Purdue. Purdue cannot break a press whatsoever. I think they're the safest number one seed to not go far in the tournament. I got Marquette though coming out of here. This team's dominated all season.
They have indeed.
Why not keep dominating? Let's go to the West, where we have Kansas as the number one overall seed in here, Ben. Let's start out with the best matchup. The best matchup here, I'll go ahead and give us a go on this one. Look, best matchup is very interesting in this one. There's a lot of ways you can go with the first round. I'm going to go with St. Mary's versus VCU, and here is the best matchup for the first round. VCU actually has one of the best defenses in all of college basketball. St. Mary's likes to play at a really slow pace. I think that their pace is going to be able to slow down St. Mary's, force them to take bad shots. I think VCU is going to make the upset here, and I think they're going to win this 5-12 game. What do you think, Ben?
UConn, Iona.
That was my next one.
Rick Pitino in Albany, New York against the Huskies. Ooh. Rick Pitino's team is pesky. Alabama played them last year. Actually, Iona has beaten Alabama when Nados was the coach. His team plays good defense. If they can turn – listen, UConn, they're huge in size. I don't know much about Iona's size. UConn's size gives everyone a problem. But if Hawkins isn't shooting the ball well, if UConn's not shooting the ball well, Rick Pitino is going to make this game close. He's going to muck it up, and he's going to get this game close. Just Rick Pitino in New York. I hope he gets a big-time job. I mean, listen, like he's a scumbag. He'll probably admit that. Maybe he won't. I'll admit it for him. He's a scumbag, but he's a hell of a coach. And I kind of want him to get one of these big-time jobs so I don't have to see him in Iona anymore. Maybe like Georgetown and revive that program.
I'm hearing Georgetown or St. John's for him, so he's definitely going to get
a
big
time. Both.
Same.
I like both. Him leading the Johnnies is nice.
Oh, I know.
In the Garden? Do they play in the Garden?
Yeah, they do.
Unbelievable.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I love that, too. I feel like the Big East basketball needs a little bit of a comeback, so that'd be awesome to see happen. Yeah, I don't think Iona is going to win this game, but I actually do love Iona to cover the spread. That's another one of my favorite picks of this round. Ben, ultimately, who's your kind of upset team that can really shake things up in this region?
I got to be honest. I don't think I have an upset in the first round unless you count Illinois over Arkansas.
I got Arkansas on that one. You took St. Mary's to beat VCU?
I took St. Mary's to beat VCU, correct.
Okay.
I don't really have an upset. I mean, I'll be honest, like it's pretty chalky I think UConn is the X factor team. UConn, I think,
yep,
is good enough talent wise to beat Kansas if they can get to that matchup. But they're very streaky. UConn was number one in the country. They smoked Alabama at one point, and then they ran into tough Big East where it's tough to play road games, and they fell a little bit off the track, and then they got back on, and they're a team that's soaring high right now. I mean, they're a great team once again.
Yeah, KenPom actually has UConn as their fourth best team in their entire rankings. Yeah, I mean, I think UConn is the upset team in this one. I don't have them beating Kansas, but I think they are the upset team. UConn really doesn't have good point guard play, which worries me at some point in time. I think that's going to come back to bite you. I do like Sanogo, though, down low, and they have that other backup big man that's kind of a beast, too. Ultimately, Ben, I got the Kansas Jayhawks coming out of here. Look, I know it's tough to repeat twice in a row. I would honestly take UCLA if they didn't have the injuries that they're battling through right now to come out of this region. I just think Kansas still is that team. I mean, they were able to make it all the way to the conference championship with without Bill Self. And I mean, Jalen Wilson, me and you've texted about him a million times. This
So
guy's an
good.
absolute beast. I think he's enough to will them that far in the tournament. I think that the Sweet 16, this could have the best Sweet 16 matchups potentially, but I'm going to go with the Jayhawks to make it out of here.
I went with UCLA over Kansas. I mean, Hawkins is still really good. Tiger Campbell usually takes care of the basketball. Cody Riley's a big man. Like, they're just an experienced team. Yeah, not that Kansas or any other team is not. I just think it's the Pac-12 is. The Pac-12's top can go toe to toe with anyone. I think UCLA is there.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that one. Ben, let's take a quick break and then we'll break down our last one and get to the final four. On. All right, guys, we're back off a quick break. Just to give you all a quick recap, I currently have Alabama, Marquette, and Kansas in my final four before we break down the Midwest region. Ben, what was yours again?
My final four,
Yeah.
Alabama, Duke, and UCLA.
Okay. So we definitely got a little difference here, which I like. Midwest region, guys, your number one seed here is the Houston Cougars. The real question will be how healthy is Marcus Sasser? If he's not as healthy, I think some of us might underpick Houston. If not, we might be have the right thought process here. Also, disclaimer, guys, my Kennesaw State Owls take on Xavier in this region. I will actually be in attendance on Friday of our first ever tournament game. I'm very hyped up for that one. I'll start us out with this region since I will be in attendance. The second game I will get to see is Iowa State versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is awful. I don't know how they're in here. I actually think the best matchup is going to be Texas A&M versus Penn State. Penn State just went on a deep run in their conference tournament in the Big Ten. I think that, I mean, so did Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a team that has dominated all season long. They got off to a tough start to start the season out, took some losses to some pretty good teams. They dominated in SEC play. I expect them to carry it over. This is a physical team with solid big men and solid guard play. I think they can go toe to toe with any team in the nation, as we saw with them beating Alabama like a week ago before, like the last game of the regular season, they beat Alabama. I think this is a damn good team right here. I think that Texas A&M is the team, is going to be that team here. And it also, I want to say one other thing about another matchup before I let you go. I think Drake versus Miami is an intriguing matchup. I have Drake upsetting Miami here in this region. Look, Miami's a team that I liked all season long, but the problem is they play with four guards and one big man. Their one big man, 6'7", Norchad Omer. He's a transfer. He's actually a beast, probably one of the best players in the ACC to complement Isaiah Wong, ACC Player of the Year. But Omer is hurt. He's probably going to try to play in this game, but he is not going to be effective as he has a really bad ankle sprain. It's the type of injury you probably miss 3 to 4 weeks of the regular season. In this case, he's going to try to give it a go. I expect him not to be effective and Drake to knock them out.
Yeah, I mean, A&M Penn State is definitely the best game. Other than that, Miami Drake, which you just covered, I'll just talk about how Iowa is the 8 seed going to Birmingham to play the 9 seed Auburn. That's a huge disadvantage for Auburn. And also, Houston would have to, if Auburn wins and Houston wins, Houston has to go to Birmingham to play Auburn. That's tough for a 1 seed. That's a tough break there. But I would imagine Houston should be able to take care of this Auburn team anywhere. In the Elite Eight, chalk, Houston, Texas for me. That sounded weird because Houston is in Texas. Houston Cougars versus Texas Longhorns. And I have the Texas Longhorns in my Final Four, joining UCLA, Duke, and Alabama.
I like how you said Alabama right there. That's how everybody says it these days. You know, Ben, this is the region I've switched things around in the most, but I finally sacked up and finalized what I'm doing here, guys. I'm going back to the team that I have beating Penn State here, Texas A&M. Not only are they my sleeper team, but I'm taking them all the way to the Final Four. I think the winner of them in Texas is going to the Final Four. I just think that they're going to be a problem and a matchup for Texas. I know Texas just won the Big 12 championship. I know they're going to be getting Timmy Allen back. I don't care, though. I've watched this Texas A&M team battle all season long. This is a really good squad they have right here. I think Texas A&M is going to take it to Texas. Iowa State in the next round won't be easy by any means either. I think they can get by them. And then I just think they're a bad matchup for Houston. I have them upsetting Houston, and that's my seven seed going to the Final Four, joining Kansas, Alabama, and Marquette.
Championship time?
Championship time. With no further ado, look, we talked about Shaka Smart, how he struggles. I think he's going to get everything on track. I think he's going to get things rolling. This Marquette team came out of nowhere to start the season off. I think they're 150-1 to win the title. I think Marquette just has it going this year, guys. This is a year where that veterans are going to dominate in college basketball with how old all these players are. I think Marquette gets it done, upsets Alabama here, and faces Kansas. Kansas is battle-tested. Texas A&M is going to make the Cinderella run, but I think their Cinderella run ends in the Final Four. I'm taking the Marquette Golden Eagles to take on Kansas.
Marquette Golden Eagles to take on Kansas?
Yeah.
And who winning?
Winning it all. I'm going with the Marquette Golden Eagles, baby. I have typed in final score 75-71. I just think Marquette's that team. I think it's going to be pretty tough to repeat. I think Bill Self can get Kansas pretty far in this one. He always has done a great job with Kansas in the tournament. I just think it's Shaka's year, baby. Shaka's at his new school. He's going to take it to everybody. Shaka and the boys get it done. Give me the Golden Eagles.
I got Alabama beating Duke in the South versus East matchup, Final Four. I have Texas beating UCLA as Mick Cronin gets oh so close once again. My championship, number one seed Alabama versus number two seed Texas. Matchup that we saw in a football national championship. No Nick Saban, no Colt McCoy, just Brandon Miller buckets in Alabama. But unfortunately, I'm picking Texas to beat Alabama. I think they get oh so close to the Carmelo Anthony Syracuse storyline. And at the end of the day, Texas's experience gets over Carmelo slash Brandon Miller this time.
Wow. Who would have thought, guys? Look at that. Unbiased Ben picks against his boys in the national championship.
You thought I was going to take Texas? No shot. Give me the Alabama Crimson Tide to win it all over Texas. Are you guys kidding me? My team going to the championship and I'm not going to pick them? I mean, roll tide. Brandon Miller's the best player in the country. Nados is going to get his ring, and then the assistant coach is going to go coach Georgia Southern. It's ring season in Tuscaloosa.
I hope you guys know that that was not a setup. Ben set me up without me even knowing, guys, that he set me up for that one. Like, I was honestly not expecting – I mean, I expected him to pick Alabama. So
same storyline as Carmelo.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is going on here? I mean, look, I don't consider this a biased pick because Alabama is the number one overall seed. They're the best team in the nation, for crying out loud. Look, Ben, I think when we look back at these brackets, ultimately, I think we both have solid picks and whatnot to make it far. I think that the one regret we both might have is overlooking Houston. It really depends on Sasser's health. And then
I don't love the storyline of like the hometown, the host city, the host team going to, even though they're not like Texas is a bigger school, even in Houston than the Houston Cougars.
Exactly.
But you know what I mean?
Well, 100%. I feel like looking through the bracket, that's really the one team. I think Texas and Arizona are like the two that we might end. I mean, Arizona and Houston might be the two teams that we end up overlooking a little bit. Like, I don't think Purdue is going to end up having me regretting overlooking them. But yeah, I think those are really the ones that are going to overlook. I know Gonzaga has been a hot pick. I mean, I've seen a lot better Gonzaga teams fall short. I just have a tough time. But I will say this. A lot of times we say we've seen a lot better Duke teams, a lot better blah, blah, blah teams. That's the one that ends up winning it all. So, you know, like,
especially with like Syracuse and Michigan State and Michigan, even those teams, like, man, it's like, God, they're good, but they're not that good. Michigan State finished, I think, fourth in the Big Ten this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can shoot. We'll see how far Izzo can get them.
Yeah, I actually don't even have them winning a game. I think USC is a bad matchup for them. I think Michigan State sucks, to be honest with you. I think that whole conference is trash. I think the only team that I even have from that conference winning a game is Purdue, I want to say. I don't have another Big Ten team even winning a game, honestly. And that's not biased in any way, guys. I just don't think this conference is any good. Purdue has no guard play
Well,
whatsoever.
Northwestern's playing Boise State, and the Mountain West is like the worst conference of all time in March
Yes.
Madness.
Yes, the Mountain West is the worst. That's part of the reason why I went against San Diego State. I'm actually taking Boise State. I don't think they've ever even won a March Madness game before. I think they're like 0-10 all time. But I don't know, man. I just think Northwestern's trash. I mean, like I don't think Northwestern deserves to be there. Northwestern won all these games as an underdog. Like, are they really ready to be the favorite at this point? I don't think they are. And that's why I picked against Arizona State tonight, took a Mountain West team in Nevada. Ben, before we get out of here, did you think that they like? I felt like the committee really screwed up these mid-major teams making it. Like, I thought Pittsburgh had no business being in here. Thought that it probably should have been Clemson over them. I thought that there's no way in hell that Nevada was going to get in there, yet somehow they got in. And also too, I felt like a lot of teams were underseeded, like UConn, like Texas A&M, Creighton was underseeded. Like, I feel like a lot of teams are underseeded. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, A&M and who's the A&M and Penn State didn't get much love. Penn State made the final and then they lost to Purdue.
Well, Penn State was on the last four out, or the first four out going into into conference. Yeah.
I mean A&M, their non-conference is what killed them. It's pretty obvious. So I think Texas winning the Big 12, I feel like I'm not saying they should have jumped Kansas, but you can make an argument because they were the champions, even though Bill Self wasn't there. I don't try to worry too much about like seeding. I mean, it's a tough job for this committee. This isn't getting four teams in. This is getting 68 teams in and seeding all of them. So that's including the play-in, obviously 64 without. So the matchups are the matchups. If you're supposed to win, then just win the game and shut up.
Yeah, I've also thought Rutgers really got screwed over. Like, I watched that Rutgers Purdue game, and I thought that was a really good game. And I was like, damn, this Rutgers team is pretty like complete team. Like, they play defense, they have a nasty big man, they can shoot, they have good guard play. I was like, this will be a fun team to get in here, and they didn't even make it in the dance. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting, but at the end of the day, you can't complain too much. It's a tough job to do. The NCAA felt like they got it right. Ultimately, I think you got to give some of the smaller conferences a shot. I was actually watching a video and it was like talking about how that like the first four is actually crucial because like every single game you win, basically your conference gets like $2 million for the next 6 years for every single game you win. Yeah. The NCAA gives them that
Wow.
money every single season. So like those 16 seeds that play each other in these play-in games, like I mean, these teams are literally playing for like conference changing money, you know what I mean, in these games, 16 seeds. So there's a lot at stake in these first four games, believe it or not. So I think they ended up getting everything right ultimately. Ben, any other thoughts before we get up out of here, man?
Good luck to everyone's team in bracket.
Yeah, good luck to everyone in the bracket. Good luck to everyone in our bracket pool. If you haven't yet, DM me or Ben on Instagram or Twitter about hopping in the pool and we'll get y'all right in there. We've got a pretty strong pool right now. I think we're pushing 40 people so far. I expect tomorrow there to be 10 to 20 more signups. We'll probably get 50 to 60 signups. So should be a pretty solid March Madness season. Ben, best of luck to you on your action on your bracket this week. And let's get out of here. We'll talk to everyone soon and please play responsibly.